All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. We're glad that you're here. We like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using for, I think, forever. The Lord be with you. Thank you. That's our prayer every Sunday, is that all of us who gather together here in the room, joining online, that we would have a real sense that the Lord is with us, that he meets us right where we live, right in the middle of all the stuff that's happening. I know some of you are coming in today like, you're well rested, it's been a great night, a great morning, you're feeling great, just ready to praise God and thank him for all his goodness. Others of you, like, it's been stress, you barely slept, you dragged yourselves here because you're desperate to know that God is with you. And whatever your circumstances, it's a beautiful thing to know that the God of the universe, the God who made us, that he really does love us, and he invites us to worship him. I would love it if we could pray as we begin. If you'd bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity that you give us once a week to gather together with fellow believers to center our hearts and our thoughts on you, to get honest with you about what's going on in our hearts and lives, to listen for you, speaking words of encouragement or hope or challenge or whatever it is that we might need, whatever way we need to experience your love and your grace today. God, we bring all of life with us into this time, everything we've been carrying. God, we don't leave it behind, but we bring it with us into your presence, so that you can forgive, so that you can heal, so that you can comfort, so that you can strengthen, so you can guide, so that we can know when we leave this place, so we can know that all of our life has been touched by you. Help us, God, through the songs, through the scriptures, through the prayers, through the table. Help us through the whole service. Use all of it, God, to connect our hearts to yours, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're able, if you're interested, let's stand and let's sing.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And I will sing of the goodness of God. And I will sing of the goodness of God.
Amen. And you know what? I saw some of you last night out at the Respite House benefit concert, and the fact that you're here for the early service, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of me. I'm proud of all of us. But it was a really great time for a really great cause, and I just pray for ministries like the Respite House, and that even more people want to be involved in helping those in our community that are afflicted by whatever kind of addiction or any kind of disease or any kind of thing that's separating them from God. I just pray that we have more people to come alongside. And thank you for those that are doing that already. That doesn't relate to the song. I just felt like saying it.
Amen.
Temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. You're my one. my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Amen.
The Lord bless you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Amen.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you for a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you.
In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, you weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, and you weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you. Amen. 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 Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Amen. Let's continue that prayer, shall we? Lord, we do thank you for your blessings and the way that you have shined your face on us in those places and in those days and those times, Lord, when we've really needed to hear from you. I thank you that you have spoken to us, that you have intervened on our behalf. You have gone before us and beside us and around us and within us, Lord. the words of this song just are, they're just so telling of the God that you are. And we are so thankful. Lord, I give you praise this morning for the way I've seen you work in my own life and in the lives of people that I know and love, for the situations that you are resolving, for the situations that you are working in. Lord, you are doing great things, and we are so thankful. But I know, Lord, that there are folks who are facing things, friends who are facing things, that just don't seem to have a resolution. They just don't seem to be working out. But Lord, we know that we can trust you. We can trust you to be working in each and every one. No matter what's going on, Lord, you are still good. You always have been, you always will be, and nothing changes that. Lord, I thank you for each person that's here this morning, in this place, and with us online. Lord, I thank you for each family, each home, each just presence that they represent. Each and every one, Lord, is so precious in your sight. And I thank you, Lord, for the way we see you working in each one. For the growth that we see, the maturing that we are watching, Lord, in each and every one of us here. So, Lord, I pray that today will be another step in that process. That today we will learn from you. And what we learn will bring growth in us and in our relationship with you. Be with Pastor Rich and the word that you've given him for today. Lord, in those places that maybe we need to hear some correction from you, let us hear that correction and receive it. In those places where we need to hear encouragement, may we be encouraged. Lord, we thank you for just for who you are. Not just for what you do, but because you are God. You love us. And we pray these things, giving you honor and glory as we pray them in your name. Amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
All right. So as people in the room are finishing conversations, I just want to say a quick hello to all of you who are with us online. My name is Rich Schmidt, one of the pastors here, if I haven't met you before. And I know that some of you are actually out there because you let me know that you've been worshiping with us, and I appreciate that. You could let us know by dropping a note in the comments wherever you're watching, or by shooting us a text, or you can go to that link that's on the screen, livinghope.info/connect, and shoot us a private note if there's some way we could be praying for you, answering questions for you, anything like that. And all of us, of course, could do that same thing. Or since you're in the room, you could just grab one of those little green cards back there and drop it in the offering box after you write your question or your prayer need or whatever it might be. And if you're giving today, you can drop that in there too. Thank you again to all of you who give so faithfully to make this church go. We could not do it without all of us pitching in. So on the back, if you got one of these on the way in, if not, there's some more. There's some more sitting back there. Just wanted to remind you again, September 14th is right around the corner, and that is our church's 25th birthday party. We're going to have a meal after the second service, so like at noon. We have lunch together, which means all you 9 o'clock folks, I hope, will not go off and just eat in a restaurant and then, you know, go home. I'm hoping that you'll come back hungry at noon because we're going to have some pulled pork and burgers and dogs. The food truck's going to be helping us with some of that, although they're not, doesn't look like they're going to have their full menu, okay? So if you're really hoping for some of the usuals that you get, we're going to have some of it. The food truck stuff plus cake plus other fun stuff and things for kids, things for adults. So we hope that you'll join us as we celebrate 25 years of serving this community on Sunday, September 14th. I've been having questions from folks about when is the next bike giveaway. There's going to be one more this year. It's going to be in October. So the folks who do it were busy all the Saturdays in September, but October 4th, they'll be back in the parking lot 9 to noon if you have a bike to donate or you know someone that needs one. And if you can't wait that long, let us know. I'll put you in touch with Greg who does that, and we'll see if he can get one to you before then. And then every Wednesday, if you want to stop out, the Fresh Starts food truck is out there. The Community Change Center is doing good work. They had a long night last night out of the Respite House event. But yeah, any Wednesday you can stop by and support them and enjoy lunch. And if you want, you can come in and eat in the church and hang out with other people that are buying food and enjoying lunch. I'm sure there are other things like, I do need to mention, out in the lobby, Missy has got sign-up sheets if you will be interested in praying for the Great Banquet. They start the end of September, and each weekend for a while there are, I think it's the men's weekend, and then the women and the teens, or I might have those mixed up. The dates are on the sign-up sheets, but they want to bathe that thing in prayer. They want to make sure that when people are there for that weekend to connect with God, and these weekends, they're like invitation-only things. It's like someone sees a friend, someone that they know, they think, you know what, this person really could benefit from having a weekend just saturated in God and Christian community. I see them as somebody who could take their faith to the next level. And so then they invite them to the weekend, and then they serve them in all kinds of different ways. But one way that they make sure that folks are open and ready to see God at work is they invite all the different churches that participate to pray throughout the whole weekend. So if you want to sign up for a time slot, I know last time these came around back in the spring, I signed up for an early morning one because the dog wakes me up every morning, needs to go out. That schedule shifted just a little bit. I can't sign up for the exact same spot, but I'll be finding a time when I can pray for those weekends and for the volunteers and the people that are there. So if you want to pray, or I think usually for the Awakening Teen Weekend, there's an invitation to bring stuff too, snacks and things. So that'll all be out there in the lobby as you're going. And if you want to help with that, that'd be great. All right. Before we dive into the message, I would love it if we could just pause for a second, take a breath, maybe pray. If you want to close your eyes with me, God, thank you. Thank you for all the ways you're at work in the world. Thank you for the ways that we get to participate in that good work. And God, thank you that you do meet us right here and that you continue to speak to your children through the scriptures. Help us today. Help us today to hear your voice. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that prayer I just prayed connects right with this morning's message, I'm realizing. Because we've been talking about praying the last few weeks, and a lot of times we think about praying, we think about what I say to God, right? I mean, I'm talking to God, I'm being honest with God. We put a big emphasis on that our prayers need to be honest. There's no reason to to beat around the bush with God. Just let him know what's on your heart, what's going on. Pour out your heart to him, we talked about last week. And that includes if that's some ugliness in there towards some enemies, towards someone that's hurt you. God already knows that, right? You're not fooling God by pretending not to feel those things or pretending not to think those things. So just tell those things to God. Give those things to God. But what happens then when God talks back? What do we do with that? What do we do when we pray and then God invites us to do something in response to that prayer? I believe this is something that happens fairly frequently. Unfortunately, sometimes our prayers are just kind of tossed to God on the run, right? I mean, we're just moving and we're it's like lobbing a hand grenade out the window or something. I don't know. Or let's water balloon. Let's go with water balloons. Driving down the road and just lobbing a water balloon at somebody as you're driving by and then and just speeding off. We're just kind of tossing this prayer up to God. Please, God, help. And okay, now I'm on to the next thing. And what happens when God wants to say something back, when God wants to respond and wants us to be a part of that response? There's a moment that kind of highlights this in Matthew's gospel. We've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all give us accounts of Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, and we've got them in our Bibles along with a lot of other early Christian writings. And in Matthew chapter 9, it says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. The good news that God is establishing his kingdom through Jesus and through his work. And so he demonstrates that. It says he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. He's like, there's more need than there are people to meet it. So please pray that God will send more people, more workers to meet this need. And maybe they did. Maybe Maybe the disciples said, okay, we're on it. And they stopped and they went and they gathered and they prayed, and maybe they focused on that for a while, saying, okay, God, please send some workers. Jesus is right. There's a lot of people that need help. Send some workers. Send some people. Send someone. And in our Bibles, when we divided them up into chapters and verses, we could easily refer to different parts of it. We kind of we created a little bit of a problem in moments like these, because that's the end of chapter 9. And then, you know, then you're shifting gears to the beginning of chapter 10. And if you're reading on a Bible app on your phone or something, that might be just a totally different screen. You know, you had to swipe or hit a button, and now it's chapter 10, and you feel like it's starting something totally new. But originally, these were all just written on scrolls, and it just ran right into the next thing. And the very next thing, after Jesus says, pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest, ask him to send more workers into his fields, the next words are, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Here are the names of the 12 apostles, and he just lists the 12 disciples. And it says, Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. And there's a whole chapter full of things that Jesus told them to do as they go, as they minister, as they serve. Here's how to do it. I can just kind of imagine almost like Peter and the disciples saying, coming back to Jesus, okay, we've been praying. We've been asking God to send someone. And Jesus says, great. Come here. I'm sending you. And I'm just assuming that maybe there was a little bit of wait, what? No, you told us to pray for God to send someone. I didn't mean send us, right? Send somebody, God. Send somebody, please, to encourage that person that needs encouragement. Send someone to provide the resources that person needs to make it through the rest of today. God, send someone to tell them about how much you love them. Send someone who will be a listening ear and care about them. Send someone. I think sometimes when we pray these things, I feel like God is like, okay, I don't know if you know what you're asking, because you're the someone. Here we go. My favorite story of this is in Exodus. You know, the story of Exodus in the Old Testament, where the people of Israel had found themselves in Egypt. And there's a whole story there at the end of Genesis. It's amazing. But as the book of Exodus starts, the people of God, the people of Israel, are numerous, and they become enslaved by the Egyptians and by Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They're forcing them to make bricks to build their cities and to build their monuments, and they're crying out in their oppression. And then there's this whole story about Moses and how, one of the things that the Egyptians do to try to keep down the Israelites, because they're becoming so numerous they're getting scared of them, they start killing their baby boys. Even worse, they're making them kill their own baby boy. It's a horrible, horrible story. But Moses' mother refuses, and she ends up raising Moses in secret until she can't anymore, and she puts him in a basket and sends him on into the Nile in hopes that someone will find him and care for him. And what do you know? Pharaoh's daughter is there in the Nile River, and finds him and brings him home and raises him as her own son. We have this story about Moses, who's being raised in the lap of luxury, in the place of power, in the king's household, and he knows who he is. We get from the story that he understands that he is an Israelite, because at some point we see Moses finding some Israelites being oppressed, being beaten by an Egyptian, and he decides, I got to do something about this, and he kills that Egyptian and buries him in the sand, thinking he's doing his part to help his people. Well, it gets found out. He has to take off. He has to run, and spends years, decades in the wilderness with family, being a shepherd, raising sheep, until one day, you get to chapter 3, one day he's out there and he sees this bush that's on fire. He thinks, wow, that's strange. Probably like we would do, I imagine, if you hear the sirens going and you look and you say, oh man, where are they headed? Oh, I can see smoke. I don't know about you. I tend to then turn the car in that direction to go see what's going on. What's happening? What's on fire? I hope it's nobody I know. You know, all these things. And Moses does. He diverts and he goes to see this bush that's on fire, and he realizes it's burning, but it's not burning up. It's just like continually on fire. What is happening here? And then a voice speaks to him from the bush, and God speaks to Moses, tells him he's on holy ground, and begins to say to him, well, he tells him this. By the time you get to verse 7, it says, then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. I'm guessing that Moses, well, I can't even imagine what Moses was thinking. I can't imagine what that would be like, to have the voice of God speaking from a burning bush. I'm sure that at first, as he hears that God has heard the cries of his people, has seen their oppression, that he's aware of their suffering, I'm sure there's a part of Moses that's thinking, yes, finally. You know, this is something that he has cared about since he was young, since he tried to step in and do something about it, but he realized his limitations, and now God is finally here to do this. Yes, I'm sure there's part of him that is just celebrating at that. Finally, you're going to come, and you're going to do this thing that we've been praying for you to do for as long as he could remember, as long as he'd been alive. And then I can't imagine how things must have shifted for him when God said, now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh. I mean, I can kind of imagine it, because it's probably a similar feeling to the one that you maybe felt a moment ago when I was saying that whole, Lord, send someone to do that. Send someone to do that. And God says, oh, that someone is you. Yeah, it's that shift from like, yes, God is going to do something about my circumstances. He's going to do something about the pain that I see in the world, about the suffering, about the need. And then it suddenly shifts to being my responsibility. Well, wait, what? Hold on, God. And that's what Moses does. He does the hold on, God, for a while. You keep reading the story, and he's like, I'm not the guy. You know, I don't speak well. You know, he gives every excuse he can. Until finally Moses kind of gets fed up with him and says, look, I'm sending your brother. He's going to help you. Just go. You're going to do this, and I will be with you. That's the assurance that God gives to Moses in the end, repeatedly. I will be with you as you go to do this thing. It's not like, you know, I'm coming, I'm just sending you off to do something I don't want to do. This is God hearing and answering prayers, and he does it through his people. God goes to work through Moses and Aaron and to set the people free. And how many times are we praying for something? Now, I know this isn't always the case, right? I know sometimes we're asking God to do something there is just no way that we can do for ourselves. And that's why we're finally turning to God in prayer. We've tried all the stuff we can think of, and finally we've run out of all of those options. We're like, man, maybe I should actually pray about this. And we pray. Now, we should have done that at the start, right? We should have started with prayer, said, okay, God, we need your help with this, and we're going to try lots of stuff, everything we can think of, and God, you guide us, and work through anything we can come up with. But, you know, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes it's not until we've actually kind of exhausted all our efforts, or there's just no way for us to be there for them, you know, because they're in prison, or they're in a hospital far away, or they're just living far away from us. Some of you parents know the feeling as kids have gone off to college and started lives far, far from home. And like, okay, God, please, please provide for them, surround them with good people, protect them. You know, there are some prayers that we pray that frankly, there's just not a whole lot we can do about. We're needing God to do something that we can't do. And there are a whole lot of other times where we're praying about something that frankly God is probably looking at us and saying, okay, you're asking me to do that, why aren't you doing it? You know, let's go, you know, let's do it, let's make this happen. This story from Exodus reminds us that God does see, he does hear, he is aware, he cares. When things are going on, when we're crying out to him, God is not distant. God cares about us. He does, in fact, intervene in life. And a whole lot of the time, he does that through us. When we call on God, like the people of Israel have been doing, we need to be ready then when he calls. When he says, okay, here's how it's going to work. Now, again, Moses had tried. You know, there's like a timing issue here, you know. We're not saying, like, just go do it. I'm not saying don't bother praying, just go do it. No, you pray, you turn it all to God, you turn it all over to God, you go to God about it, and if God says go, then you go, right? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, it was just not too long after he had taught us how to pray, he says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. So it's not all of us who just call out to him, like, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I'm trusting you. Like, that's a good thing. And he says, yeah, but then you have to actually do what God wants you to do. You have to be ready then when God speaks to do what he's told you to do. It's just a few verses after that. We looked at it recently where Jesus tells a story about the two builders, and one he calls wise, one he calls foolish, because, you know, the wise one listened to Jesus and then did it and put it into practice. So that's like building your life on a solid foundation. The storms of life come and your life stands strong, but the foolish builder, man, somebody who listens and then just doesn't do it, maybe they hear it, but they don't put it into practice. They don't build their life on anything. It's just like no foundation, and when storms come, the house collapses. I'm hoping first off that we're all being honest with God. That when we have needs, or our friends have needs, when there are things that we need God's help with, that we are, man, that we're being honest about it, that we're letting him know, that we're not trying to hide any of it from God, that we're not forgetting to turn to God in the midst of things, whether it's rough things or opportunities. Oh, I can still remember. We're about to celebrate 25 years. This was in the first few years. I still remember somebody from the church, a business owner, who they'd just done a big business expansion, and they were struggling. They were struggling to make ends meet. I mean, they knew it's what they needed to do next, but, man, and they told me at some point, they're like, you know what? I realized at some point, I never really talked to God about this before we did it. We knew this was the next logical next step, and we just jumped on it, and we didn't really ask God, do you want us to do this, or do you want us to do this now? We just jumped in. And he was regretting that. Now, God has blessed them. They've made it through. They're doing fine. But, we should be going to God with all things. And my hope is that we're doing that. And my hope, then, is that we're actually listening for God to reply. That we're expecting that these prayers aren't just tossed out there somewhere into the universe. But that we know we're actually conversing with the God who made us and loves us, our loving Heavenly Father, who is actively at work in the world. And that we will be ready then if God says, as part of our prayer, as part of our conversation, if he says, yes, oh, man, you got it, man. Your heart is with my heart. I care about that too, and I want to see that change. Let's go do it if God includes you in it. I read a story this last week about a teenager who'd gone on a mission trip to another country. And when they came back, their youth leader was excited to hear, like, hey, tell us about it. You know, they were having their youth group time, and they said, tell us about the trip. What was one thing that really stood out to you? And they were kind of expecting to hear something about, you know, oh, there was this kid that really grabbed my heart. Or they just didn't know what, you know, exactly, but they didn't expect what the teenager said, which was, oh, that's easy. She said, I realized just how easy it is for us to answer our own prayers here. What? What do you mean? I said, oh, yeah, man, when we were there with them and we prayed things like, you know, give us this day our daily bread. Like, well, that's easy. We just go to the store. We just buy bread. You know, we've already got money. We got transportation. We got a store. We get the bread. The people I was with on this mission trip, they pray, give us this day our daily bread, and they're not sure where that bread's coming from yet. They don't know where the next meal is going to come from. They're really crying out to God, asking for God to provide. And that was just one example she gave of several. It reminded me when I read that the Lord's Prayer that we've been looking at, you know, we're talking about prayer, we should look at the prayer that Jesus taught us. I went ahead and included there in your notes from Matthew's Gospel, his version of it, and this is the New Living Translation. It's a little different than the way we pray it every Sunday. But it reminded me that this is a we, us kind of a prayer. It's not an I, me kind of a prayer. It starts out, our Father in heaven, right? Not my Father in heaven. It's like our Father. Heaven. Jesus said, pray like this, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. It might be easy for you to answer your prayer. But we pray this like as a community. It might not be easy for all of us to answer our own prayers. It might be that when we pray, give us today the food we need, or give us this day our daily bread, that some of us in the room are like the people on that mission trip. They're like, well, God, I'm not sure where it's coming from, but I'm trusting that you'll provide. And we're asking God not just to provide for me, but to provide for us. And there are times then when we pray that, that God might tap you on the shoulder and say, yes, I want to provide for all of you. I've given you extra. Here's someone who needs some and leads us to be a part of answering our own prayers, and leads us to be a part of answering the prayers of others. It's a beautiful thing, and it's what God does time and time and time again. But that requires us to be like faithfully listening and faithfully open to what it is that God wants us to do. Now, I need to take just a second and share with you something that I've been praying recently, and that our church board's been praying. We just had a church board meeting this last week, and one of the things that the church board does every time, besides just kind of catching up on, hey, how are things going, and what ministry things are happening, the financials are one thing that the church board looks at. And we've been noticing, and got pretty stark this last board meeting, like, okay, financials are not looking great right now. Sometimes you guys ask, like, hey, how are things going at the church? And sometimes you mean, like, financially, because you're thinking, hey, should I give a little extra? And for the longest time, I've said, oh, things are good, you know, because things have been good. Things have been great. But we've noticed over the course of the year that, like, okay, we're a little behind that month. Ah, no big deal. We'll catch up next month. And next month we catch up. Oh, great. And the next month, you know, things are like, oh, we didn't expect that expense. And, oh, and giving was down this month too. Well, that's okay. You know, God's faithful. We still got money in the bank. You know, and then the next month's a little better. And that's about even. Okay, good. We broke even. Oop, that one's a little low. You know, and so we watch it, and we've watched it kind of move in a direction that's not entirely favorable. Now, you guys, if you've been with us any amount of time, you know I'm not about to stand up here and twist your arms. No one has locked the doors until we collect enough money. Nothing like that, okay? We're not that kind of church, all right? We're not going to have the band play and us pass baskets until we finally have collected enough, all right? In fact, the verse that's on the box, on the offering box back there, is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. It says, each of you should give what you've decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And we believe that, all right? We believe that you should have a conversation with God and your spouse or whoever else is involved with your money, if there is someone else involved with your money, that you should talk with God and say, okay, God, what would you have me give? I mean, we should be saying that about all of our resources and our time and our life in general, but when it comes to giving, you know, we expect, we hope that you're talking to God and saying, okay, God, what would you have me give to Respite House? What would you have me give to, you know, that nonprofit over there, that's Co-Action, or that nonprofit that's helping people with whatever, what would you have me give to the church that I call home? To support the work that we do here and around the world, what would you have me give? And then whatever God tells you to give, that's what you'll do. We trust that you will decide in your hearts to be obedient to God, whatever he tells you, not what the pastor stands up front and tells you, that you'll do whatever God tells you to do in terms of your giving. And so I've been praying, the church board's been praying, okay, God, please, you know, we need you to provide the resources for the work that we believe you've called us to do. And we're trusting that God will provide. And some of that comes from our own pockets, right? And so I guess I'm asking you to join us in praying and trusting that as you do, God might tap you on the shoulder and says, well, yeah, I'm ready to provide the resources. I put them in your pocket, you know. Go ahead and give that. Or maybe you need to begin becoming more systematic with your giving instead of it being kind of as haphazard as it has been. You know what you're making every 2 weeks. I want you to give a percentage of that. Maybe God wants you to increase that percentage to come closer to the tithe, that tenth that God talks about in the Bible. Maybe you just had some, we had this happen to us this year. We had a house that we, part of our investing, what God had blessed us with, we bought a house we were renting out, and we sold that land to my folks. They're building a house on it so they can downsize. And so we realized, like, oh, we paid X for the house, we sold it for Y, there's a gap there. We made some money on that. And we decided, okay, God, we'll tithe on that increase, that amount of money that came in there. And so we're giving a little extra because God blessed us with some extra. It might be something like that happens to you. Whatever it is, I'm not spending more time on this today. That's just one example of how when we're praying, God, please give us the resources we need for the work that you have us do. Okay, we got to be ready then for God to tap us on the shoulder and say, okay, I'd like to answer that prayer through you. Here you go. And if you're concerned about the fact that, like, I get a salary from that, and you're like, oh, of course he's saying that because he's wanting to make sure he gets paid, great. Don't give it in a way that, you know, give it to the building fund so it only gets used on the building, or give it to missions so you make sure it goes to missionaries, or give it to the Acts 4 fund that we only use to help people in need who in the church community who need help, or I think it's a good neighbor fund, I guess, that goes to people outside that. There's different ways you can give. If you don't want to pay my salary, that's fine, okay? or if you don't care if it gets used in that way, you can just give it to the general fund. That's fine. I'm not up here because I'm worried about my salary, okay? I just wanted to give that as an example and as an opportunity, because some of you do ask from time to time. And rather than calling each of you up individually, I thought, well, I'll take a minute. It fits. I'll just share that. One of the prayers that I'd mentioned a couple weeks ago, when we were talking about using scripture to, as we pray for others, as we pray for other people, was this from Ephesians chapter 3. And I thought it was appropriate today. He says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, hang on, I'm going to pause for a second. We got sirens outside. God, please help them to get where they need to go and to help whoever they need to help, and work through those folks, those first responders. Thank you. Amen. All right. Sorry, I teach our kids to pray that kind of prayer, and felt weird not doing it myself. Okay, so this is the prayer of the Apostle Paul for the Ephesians. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I just want to highlight in that last bit, God's mighty power at work within us. God's power, the way that God moves and acts in the world, is at work within us as individuals, as a church. That when there are people in our community crying out, they might not even know who they're crying out to. The bit from Exodus doesn't say they cried out to God. It just says they cried out. We have people in our community that are crying out in need, hoping that maybe the universe or God or someone will answer. God hears. God cares. And through God's mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. You might be surprised in that moment where you feel like God is nudging you to, like, do something about the thing you're praying about. And you might respond like Moses, oh, I don't have what it takes. I don't have all that I would need to meet that. I feel like if you keep listening, you might hear God say, oh, that's okay. I don't expect you to have the ability to tackle this. I just need you to cooperate with me, because I need someone who's willing to go so that I can work through them, so that my mighty power at work within you can accomplish infinitely more than you might ask or think. It's no wonder he says, glory to him in the church. God gets the glory for these things. If it was something we could just do on our own and be like, hey, we're pretty cool. We pulled it together. We made something neat happen, you know. No, it's God that gets the glory. In the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let me pray for us before we celebrate communion together. God, I kind of have this feeling that there might be some of us hearing this message today who are a little bit terrified because we've been praying about something and we have heard or felt you nudging us to be a part of the answer to our own prayers. and it has scared us. God, I pray you would help us to let go of that fear, to trust you, that you know what you're doing. And if you want us to be involved in being part of the answer to this prayer, well, that you know what you're doing, God. That it will be your mighty power at work. That you will be the one that brings the resources and the people together. That you will be the one to help make the connections happen. That you will be the one who gets the glory and the credit, because it's going to be so far beyond what we could have come up with on our own. But God, help us to trust you, to be willing to say yes when you answer our prayers. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are a God who hears those cries, who sees the needs, who is aware, who is present, who is here. You are a God who comes to rescue, and you're a God who includes us in that rescue. Thank you, God, that we get to be a part of your amazing work that you are doing in the world. Sometimes we're volunteering, sometimes we're giving, sometimes we're we're not sure what that next step is, but we just know that you want us to go and talk to that person about that particular situation, and we are open to see what you're going to do. Thank you, God, for those examples in our church and in the church more broadly, the many, many, many examples of people who have done just exactly this, who have stepped out on faith, trusting you, and we have seen you at work. Building shelters and halfway houses, starting food trucks, caring for the dying. God, all the different ways that people have prayed and then been willing to be a part of your good work in answering those prayers. Help us, God, just to continue that here, now, in our own time, in our own place, in the lives you've given us. And we will give you thanks. That's what we're doing today, God, in this sacrament of Holy Communion, as we gather together with Christians around the world in offering to you these simple gifts of bread and juice. God, we're giving you thanks for the love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We're praying that by your Spirit's presence here today, that we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. We remember, Jesus, that you took that bread, broke it, gave it to your disciples, and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." You took the cup and you said, "Drink this. This is my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." Jesus, you said, "This is the new covenant. This seals the new agreement between God and humanity, that it's by trusting in you and the work you have accomplished by your death and resurrection, you defeated the powers of sin and death and the devil to set us free. You, Jesus, are the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed King. And now we have the opportunity to put our trust in you, to give you our allegiance. And so we do this. We give you all of who we are. We bring ourselves to you. We bow the knee before your throne. We give you ourselves. And as we do, we acknowledge that we've not done this thing the way you created us to do it. We need your mercy and your grace. We need you to forgive us for those ways that we've not loved you with all that we are, heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need you to forgive us for those ways that we've not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We need you to forgive us for those times that we have cried out to you in prayer and then not even listened for an answer or resisted your answer when you've invited us to be part of it. God, we need your forgiveness. And we thank you that because of Jesus, our high priest, we can come confidently to your throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's now. We need your mercy and grace. And we thank you that we can find it in you. Your word tells us when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just. You forgive us our sins. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, God. It might be that today we find ourselves silently confessing something to you that has nothing to do with this morning's message or anything, but it's just something you've been dealing with us about that you need us to finally let go of. Or it might be that today is that moment where we finally say yes to you for the very first time. Okay, if this is real, if I really can find forgiveness, if I really can get a fresh start and a new life, if God really does want me as one of his kids, then I'm in. I'm in. Thank you, God, for embracing us, welcoming us as your sons and daughters. Thank you for the new life that you give us as we put our trust in you. And thank you again for the ways that we get to be a part of your amazing work in the world. We are so grateful because you are so good. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Oh, wait, no, we're not going to sing that song yet. Did I mess it up? Oh, all right. Let's pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward to take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. It's open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today, all of us who are hungry for his grace, grateful for his love. This is our chance to celebrate, together with Christians around the world, that God has done it, that he has completed the work, that he has given us his grace. He's just waiting for us to accept it. So let's receive it today. Let's celebrate.
Grace will lead me home.
10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We know less days to see God's face than when we first begun. Earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be.
Thank you, God, for the amazing grace that you have shown us, the love you've given in your Son, Jesus Christ. Fill us with the Spirit of Christ today, we pray, that we might be changed from the inside out, and that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands, as your feet, as the people you send with your Spirit, so that we get to be a part of the work you're doing here in the world. Thank you, God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to use the same blessing I've been using for a while. It comes from the end of one of Paul's letters. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.